Breaking news today on Seculo as we learn Biden's FBI hasn't stopped targeting Christians.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Well, there's a new report out. This report, holding in my hands right now, it just released yesterday. The FBI's breach of religious freedom, the weaponization of law enforcement against Catholic Americans. Remember, they were targeting radical traditionalist Catholics, and they said, you know, after the congressional oversight and they got caught doing this, finally they deleted this, but it was just in Richmond. Well, then we found out it wasn't just in Richmond. It actually was in Richmond, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, Portland, and it was planned to be a nationwide program. We also know now that there was not a single legitimate basis for this memorandum to insert federal law enforcement into Catholic houses of worship. We learned, Dad, that one guy in Richmond used the term to describe himself as a radical traditionalist Catholic, and the FBI even said it was self-described. They could not even determine or define the meaning of a radical traditionalist Catholic, but they prepared, edited, and reviewed a memorandum, went inside Catholic churches, interviewing priests, putting inside informants, put even choir directors, because of one individual they were monitoring who used this term self-described.
By the way, remember when, do we have the Christopher Wray bite where he says, this is a one-time thing, this was a one-off, this was the Richmond office only, we've stopped the program. Do we have that bite? Okay, we do have it. Okay, let's go ahead and play it.
When we finish our internal review, which will be very soon, we will come back before the committee.
Your FBI wrote a memo talking about radical traditional Catholics. I'm just wondering if you can define it for us.
Well, what I can tell you is you're referring to the Richmond product, which was a single product by a single field office, which as soon as I found out about it, I was aghast and ordered it withdrawn and removed from FBI systems.
Yeah, well, interestingly, it was not a single system. This, I don't know why they let these guys go up and testify, when in fact it was the FBI information out of Richmond, relied on reporting from three other field offices, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and Portland. And also, when they talk about he ordered the deletion of it, the congressional report says not only did he order the deletion of it, they removed all the notes. Yeah, so this reminds me of the Strzok page, you know, bleach binning the phones. So you don't have any of the reports of the text messages.
The ACLJ went to court on this, and they may have tried to delete everything, but they missed 1,200 pages.
Yes.
Because the court has required the FBI to turn over to the American Center for Law and Justice on January 23rd, 1,200 documents related to the FBI's targeting of, I guess, Catholic churches, because we now know they didn't come up with the term radical traditionalist Catholic. Catholics generally did not come up with that term. One individual who may or may not have been a bad actor described himself that, and they said they could not even define it because the term was not one that was used, colloquially online. And yet they still launch a nationwide hunt for radical traditionalist Catholics. And Dad, I want to add to this as well. They even said that they knew the sources they were citing. I'm quoting them. They knew the sources cited in the memorandum had a political bias, and that the sources included primarily the Southern Poverty Law Center, Salon Magazine, and The Atlantic.
You're talking about some liberal organizations.
I mean, real confidential sources that they worked hard on the ground to get.
I mean, the fact that they did this is insane. What makes it more insane is that the director said it was done, and we pulled it. When I come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what the agent who's in charge of it said about it being done and finished. He's not embarrassed by it. This is why it's important, folks, as we are in our last month of the year in our Faith and Freedom Drive. This is the most important month for you to support our work at the ACLJ. It's the most important time to give to the fight for the issues. We're talking about the FBI targeting of Christians. We're representing whistleblowers before Congress and in court, mobilizing with major meetings across Europe right now on the Israel situation. And, of course, we're just days away from filing another 14th Amendment brief to keep the former president on the ballot. Your gift is tax deductibly matched dollar for dollar, and we encourage you to support that work today. And if you can make it monthly, become an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org.
to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you about this because, again, you know, it was like the disinformation board. Remember how long it took to kill that? They tried to put a name with it, then they took the name out, but they were still going to do the same work. And I mean, you got to stay on it with DHS. I have a feeling they've probably at this point named it something else and put it away somewhere in the basement doing its work, and hopefully you won't find out about it through congressional oversight. But this weaponization of the government committee has got all their team looking through this information. And this latest report shows that if this was not exposed, what was going on in Richmond, and then the lies started piling up. It only happened in Richmond. It was only a memo. It was just an idea. Oh, wait, we actually did interview Priest. Actually, we did interview...
Yeah, but all the documents have now been removed.
Except
the 1,200 that we've got, we will get access to.
So when they were told to take this down off their server, they didn't just take down the memo off the server. They took down what they thought was all of the documents related to it, Dad. They didn't want anybody to be touched by it. And again, their main sources were a outside legal group, so a nonprofit liberal group, Southern Poverty Law Center, and two liberal magazines.
Yeah,
I mean that's their sourcing, and they said that's in their own memo. It is problematic that our sourcing is so weak.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. When asked under oath whether this program was still going on, question, do you know if the FBI is still pursuing an external product based on the memorandum? The memorandum being the Radical Catholic memorandums. I know internally there's been some discussions throughout the months of a desire to still try and get this information out somehow, but I've not seen anything as of yet. So here's the agent in charge of this saying they're still trying to get this information out. So this isn't like they got caught, whoops, we're never going to do it again. They're still trying to get this information out. I mean, I can't say I've never seen anything like this because I have seen like this. This is reminiscent of the Mueller probe. It reminds me, Jordan, of the exact same trajectory.
Yes, it does. Again, the idea that you start and then when you do find out there's something's gone wrong, the phone is destroyed. The phone has been wiped. When it was Lois Lerner, the computer's been wiped. The emails have been wiped. The documents have been wiped. I mean, through all these issues, that's how the feds think they can stay out of being exposed because it's always going to be worse than what they thought was going to be public facing. They wanted these memos released externally throughout all the FBI. So that was not something that they were worried about. What they didn't want out there was all of their conversations about how, you know what, it probably doesn't look so great. It's tabbed in here, Will, I imagine, that all of our sourcing happens to be from, the Southern Poverty Law Center. One agent whose name was redacted by the FBI responded to an email thread and said, is anyone really asking for a product like this? Apparently, we're at the behest of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Another agent who appears to be from the Milwaukee field office said, yeah, our over-reliance on the SPLC for hate designations is problematic.
Problematic is an understatement, by the way, because what it really is relying on a third party who's relying on third parties. In the law, we call that hearsay on hearsay.
They criminalize individuals.
This was an FBI investigation, so you have to understand what was at play here. I mean, the danger of this is breathtaking in scope and dangerous in the way in which it was going. I mean, the plan for this, and then to have the agent say when asked, the head agent, do you know if there's still an interest in doing this? Oh, yeah, we're still trying to figure out how to get this information out. So they still want to target the Catholics.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. They still try to figure out how can we go about this, even though it wasn't about targeting, it never started about targeting the Catholics. This all started because of one person they were monitoring who'd used the term radical traditionalist Catholics. They said when they looked that term up, there was no one using it. He used it himself. He was self-defining himself that way, so they could not even come up with a definition themselves. Remember they said it was all about white supremacists trying to go into Latin masses and recruit? And we all know that was made up stories.
Well, the whole thing was made up, but here's the problem. You had the director of the FBI go to the floor of the United States House of Representatives, say this was a one-off, one office. We pulled it. We stopped it. It's done. We find out now it's four offices. We find out now because of our lawsuit. Again, we filed let me put it up on the screen. Here it is, folks. This is the lawsuit that we filed in this case. And this is, we've got it. There it is. United American Center for Law and Justice versus the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And that lawsuit is directly on this targeting issue. So in that lawsuit, we now found out that 1,200 pages of documents are available. This is after they're saying under oath that they've removed everything, including the notes, which is convenient, by the way, for the FBI to be saying, you know, we've removed it, including the notes, i.e. we're Strzok and Page's phone messages so we can have those as evidence. Oh, no, those we cleared those out and gave those phones to other people. That's exactly what they said. So nothing has changed in the FBI since the Mueller days. I mean, it's the same nonsense. But the thing is, they get away with it. Why do they get away with it? Because there's no one holding them accountable. Now, I will say this. Jim Jordan's committee is. Congress is. The oversight's for real here. They're issuing reports. So if you want to get control of your government back, don't put these same people back in office. I mean, it's pretty clear the danger of what this is. And when elections have consequences, and we're getting down to election time, folks. I mean, we're talking, what, 5 weeks before the Iowa caucus?
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious stuff. And what the FBI is doing here is outrageous. And to think that they almost got away with it is even more outrageous.
Yeah, I think what you've got to realize here, we want to take your phone calls on 201-800-684-3110. I mean, what if someone in your community just said, well, I'm a radical traditional Baptist, and they decided, you know what, we're going to go into every Baptist church, the FBI, or I'm a radical traditional evangelical. Just come up with these terms. And it didn't matter that that term was only used by that one individual. They are now going to justify going in and putting in. Remember, we know in this situation, at least one undercover FBI agent was put in to a Catholic church in Richmond. So it wasn't all public facing, like, let's go meet with the priest. Let's go meet with the choir director.
Now apologizing.
Yeah. But they were also going in and sending in, again, confidentially, undercover FBI agents to at least one church. And so you have to wonder now, if you're at a church and somebody comes in and starts asking questions, especially because we're around an election time, and they start asking questions about, well, this seems like a pretty right-wing Christian church. You guys are pretty, this is a pretty conservative church, conservative pastor. Even if that's true, it's got to kind of like raise alarm bells. Like, why is the person just talking to me about that? Why wouldn't they have known that before if they did a little research on our church that we lean more conservative? And why are they trying to strike this conversation up with me when I've never seen them before at the church?
Because they're FBI agents,
yeah,
investigating your church, and they're investigating you. And we filed a federal lawsuit, so we're in federal court. And even though the FBI tried to, and Christopher Wray said it, we tried to remove all of the documents, there are 1,200 of them that they have, and we're getting them. And that's why we go to federal court in these cases, folks. And that's why you're supportive of the ACLJ. And I need to say this. You talk about a situation like this, which is a total breach of religious freedom, a total breach of the Establishment Clause, church-state relations, to have the government doing this. It's totally outrageous. Having said all of that, with all the outrage there, and then with all the problems there, the idea that we would allow, and this is what concerns me the most here, that we would allow this kind of activity to roll on and not do anything about it would be wrong. And that's why we took direct action. It starts with a letter. That letter then turns into a lawsuit. That lawsuit then turns into an order. That order now requires that documents be sent over to us. And we'll review those documents, and we're going to do that report, and we will send that information to Congress as well, and we will do our own report. But what we know so far is this. It was four offices, not one. It was, they tried to cover it all up by removing it. They were not successful. We know that the agent that's in charge of it says that the agency still wants that information out. So this idea that it's all been gone and removed is just incorrect. We know all of this now. And this lawsuit is only, what, 4 months old, 5 months old? I mean, I think we've been in court since the summer. Your support of the ACLJ allows that to happen. Now, we are in our Faith and Freedom year-end drive, and it's starting 4 days ago. And this is the most important month. This is the biggest month of the year, as you know. Year-end giving is significant. And we've got the FBI targeting of Christians cases that we're dealing with now. So it's the weaponization of the FBI. We've got whistleblowers from the FBI that we're representing in federal court right now. We've got a team on that. We are mobilizing. I just got a report from Greg R. Pupinik, our executive director of the European Center for Law and Justice. They've completed their first days of meetings at the European Parliament in Brussels on behalf of the hostage families. That is going on right now. We've got a team of about five there. Or six, I think, working on that. Our team here is working on filing documents with the International Criminal Court in The Hague on behalf of the hostage families. After the ICC counsel was allowed to visit and he said he wanted to work with the families, well, we represent a lot of these families, so we're going to go ahead and tell them what we've done. We're also looking at the situation that we've filed already at the UN. We know that those documents have been filed. So all of this is happening. At the same time, domestically, we're worried about what happens in the elections, including your right to vote for the candidate of your choice. So we're in court filings in the next couple of days in Wyoming, Michigan, Minnesota, representing 15 states. So all of this happens because of your support of the ACLJ. This is a critical time of the year, and we need your support now at aclj.org. Your gift is tax deductible, will be matched dollar for dollar. Also, if you're able to make that a monthly gift, you become an ACLJ champion. Just making that gift monthly. And we encourage you to do that if you're able to do that again. That's at aclj.org. And that monthly gift really is a way for us to build on these kind of cases that you don't expect, like the situation in the Middle East. aclj.org. Your gift is doubled. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Sekiel, we are joined by Rick Rennell, our senior advisor for both foreign policy and national security politics. And Rick, you see, in the law enforcement community, we learned months ago about this FBI memo going around the offices on radical traditionalist Catholics. And at first, they had come up with this new acronym, and we thought, you know, the FBI had done this on their own. Now we find out through a larger report through Jim Jordan's weaponization committee that there was one guy in Richmond who they were looking at who defined himself as a radical traditionalist Catholic. They couldn't find the term anywhere else, so they had no other way to define it. But instead of focusing on him as maybe being a problematic actor, if he was or not, they don't really go into much more detail than that. They launched an entire nationwide program throughout multiple cities. Be on the lookout for these radical traditionalist Catholics who are going to be infiltrating Catholic churches, looking and their white supremacist groups, all off this one guy who self-described it. Their sourcing was the Southern Poverty Law Center, Salon.com, and The Atlantic, which even their own FBI agent said, hey, it's problematic. It looks like we're doing the work of the Southern Poverty Law Center. This looks kind of partisan. But yet we know they at least once sent, Rick, an undercover FBI agent into a Catholic church in Richmond on behalf of this one individual who called himself a radical traditionalist Catholic. And if we hadn't uncovered this and Congress hadn't uncovered it, it didn't go public, they'd still be moving forward with this investigation and this new line of, I guess, investigation into the Catholic Church.
Look, Jordan, you know, I lived in Europe for a number of years because I was representing the American people in Berlin. And I have to tell you that decades ago, the Europeans got rid of religion and they replaced it with this inspiring commitment to government. It's really what happened is they got rid of religion and they replaced it with government. And it's a hollow society when you are living without your religion. That's why we have the First Amendment. And we have to be aggressive. I'm so thankful that ACLJ is sensitive to these issues and at the forefront of fighting on these issues. Because when our government decides to mock religion, cancel religion, use identity politics to go after religion, this is a weaponization that cannot be tolerated. And I am somebody who is fiercely trying to be on the front lines of defending all religions. You get to pick your religion, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, doesn't matter. You get to pick your religion in America, and the government is not supposed to target you. The fact that we're targeting conservatives, Catholics, is very typical of the left right now. And we need to be clear-eyed about the fight that we are facing. Thank God that ACLJ is on this case.
You know, Rick, one of the things that I find most troubling here, and there's a lot of things that I find troubling, the fact that they even instituted this is troubling. But then they had Christopher Wray go to the floor of the United States House of Representatives and testify under oath. And I want you to hear what he said, because why they let him do this is unbelievable to me. Take a listen.
Your FBI wrote a memo talking about radical traditional Catholics. I'm just wondering if you can define it for us.
Well, what I can tell you is you're referring to the Richmond product, which was a single product by a single field office, which as soon as I found out about it, I was aghast and ordered it withdrawn and removed from FBI systems.
Except, Rick, we now know that, number one, we didn't remove it all from the systems, by the way. Of course, the notes they removed. No, what a shock that is, Mueller part two. But it was Richmond, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and the FBI in Portland, Oregon. So it was coast to coast. And when asked under oath by the House Judiciary Weaponization Committee, do you know if the FBI is still pursuing this external product? This is the memo. Here's what the lead agent said. He says, I know internally there have been some discussions throughout the months of a desire to still try and get this information out somehow. So even with all this scrutiny, they are still saying they're working on it. Now, we're under the order from the court, we're going to get the 1,200 pages of documents, which is going to be fascinating to see. But they were still willing to pursue this.
Yeah, look, it was definitely growing. They got caught and they were trying to minimize it, but it had already started growing throughout the United States. Different bureaus were beginning to pick this up and organizing people to really watch out for Catholics. And what is scary is that even the top FBI director, when caught in front of Congress and he says, oh no, we got rid of that, he's either lying or he doesn't have control of the FBI. Either way is very scary. Thank God, though, that we have a team that's on it. Because look, Jay, this is not going to be solved by just highlighting it in the media. This is not going to be solved by asking for a couple of freedom of information requests to get to the bottom. We got to squeeze on all angles. We got to go to the court. We got to absolutely get the information, and that may require legal action. We have to have a team that is wide and deep in order to get to the bottom of this so that it never happens again.
I mean, Rick, we get Bob Mueller off of a phony dossier. We get this investigation into radical traditionalist Catholics over one individual who used the term, and they jump on that just to launch a nationwide investigation. I mean, it's like they are just combing through looking for anything possible tied to conservatives or Republican candidates for office that will somehow publicly make them look bad. It somehow damage them, either muddy them up, take them through an investigation, even if it goes nowhere, just to make them look like, hey, we had to use the FBI to investigate them because, you know, it looked like they were doing something wrong. And I mean, I think like when you go from the level of Mueller to the level of the Catholic Church in Richmond and putting undercover agents in, you got to wonder what level they would go to. I mean, it's like they do it to any of us.
And what are we missing, right? That's really the scary part is if we catch them on this, but what are we missing? Look, when we talk about the weaponization of government, this is exactly what you're laying out. This is the weaponization. They launch one of these phony investigations. Then they leak to the media that this person or this entity is under investigation. Then you become an FBI, you're being investigated by the FBI. So now you've got this hanging over your head. You've got to go get legal representation. They're going to bankrupt you. This is how they do it. All they have to do on the government side is a very little open investigation, and then the whole system takes off and they leak against you. And then you're literally in a position of having to cut a deal because you don't have the money to fight, or you just get crushed.
Christopher Ray is up on Capitol Hill today. And Rick, I want to thank you for joining us. We got 30 seconds here. He's going to be up on Capitol Hill today. I know. I have a feeling he'll get some questions on it. We're going to get 1,200 more documents next month. So we're certainly going to have more questions for the FBI and information to give over to that weaponization committee. But I just want to remind people, folks, we've got people like Rick on the team, our attorneys on the team who fight these out over months to get to these documents. And Dad, that's because of the financial resources available to the ACLJ. When it looks like big and huge, it's the FBI, or it looks like it's war in the Middle East, or it looks like, again, these kind of issues that are too big to take on, they're not too big for the ACLJ, and we're able to build the team necessary to get the work done and to see that justice is ultimately done.
No, and that's absolutely right. And we're encouraging this month to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Win our faith and freedom drive. Any amount you donate is doubled. And if you can make that a monthly gift, you become an ACLJ champion. We're over 17,000 ACLJ champions now. Our goal for next year, 30,000 plus.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, folks. I think, you know, just in these past couple of days, you're seeing just the scope of the how busy the ACLJ is right now this year in. I mean, we had attorneys in court representing professors. We had attorneys in court representing the life issue filings there. We've had filings on the 14th Amendment issue in two additional states, one where we represent a number of states. So making sure that you're able to choose the primary candidate of your choice if you're voting in the Republican primary because of this move to try and remove President Trump from the ballot. We've had good victories there, but some of those cases are continuing to move up the chain, if you will, of state court or federal court systems. We've got the office in Jerusalem working very there with families of hostages. We're working with the government there, working on, of course, what we know will be a major, you're already seeing it, a major attack on Israel through the legal systems internationally and places like the ICC. We've got the experience there. This FBI issue, we've been on it so that when right when it started, filing the FOIAs, demanding the information, they thought they got everything deleted. But guess what? They found 1,200 responsive documents that they have to deliver over to the ACLJ at the end of next month. And, Dad, this just it's just kind of underscores to me because it's so many different kinds of issues. And I'm not even talking about the work we're doing like in Pakistan, representing persecuted Christians every single day who are facing literally life or death sentences. That's going on every single day at the ACLJ through our work because of the financial support of our donors. And this month, as people know, in December, the year end, is the most important month of the year financially to the ACLJ.
Well, look where we've deployed people just this week, okay? We've had, in the last 10 days, we've had lawyers in Colorado. We've had lawyers filing cases in Wisconsin. We've had lawyers getting ready to do briefings in West Virginia and Virginia on election-related cases and other First Amendment issues. We've had discovery going on for students that were, you know, told to repeat basically a pornographic drama presentation. And you know, the student was 15 years old, and the ACLJ is there. And then you go, let me take you overseas. Well, I'm getting text messages right now from our European Center for Law and Justice Director, Gregor Pupinik. They are in meetings. They've been in meetings all day with the EU members of parliament. They made three presentations today to try to get more support to go after Hamas. We still have hostages that have not been released. The war is now back fully engaged. We know that the ICC prosecutor was there in Israel and tried to get towards Gaza. I don't believe he got into Gaza, but he was in Israel. He said he met with the families, and he did meet with some of the families, and he said he wants to work with them. Well, we're going to send a letter in saying, here are the families we represent. This is what happened to them. This is when they were taken. This is their age. We filed with the United Nations already on the committee that deals with this, and you said you want to take action. Well, open up a criminal investigation against Hamas. Finally, for once in your life, ICC, open up a criminal investigation against the bad guys. And not say, well, we're going to look at Israel, too, which is what they're always their throwout is, who complies with international law. And by the way, every time they've been investigated, they comply with international law. They have a complementary legal system. I mean, Hamas doesn't. No. So condemn it where it needs to be condemned. It took 8 weeks for the UN Committee on Women to come out and oppose. We're going to talk about this, to oppose and say what Hamas did by raping Israeli women was wrong. So your ACLJ, ECLJ, our office in Jerusalem, all of those are engaged. And it doesn't happen without you folks. And this is December. So this means this is the month that counts the most. We are in a faith and freedom drive. You know the cases. I've just gone over them with you. Here's what we need you to do. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's tax deductible. You go to aclj.org/faith and freedom. Right there on the homepage of ACLJ, you can make that donation online. And when you do it, if you're able to do this, this makes a big difference for us. If you can become an ACLJ champion, which means you're going to stand with us each and every month, you make a donation each and every month, that changes radically how we can do our planning. We started the year, we started this season, October 1st, off with 15,000 ACLJ champions. We are now at over 17,000 ACLJ champions. And that number continues to grow. We're at 17,760. We started with 15,600. Means we've added 2,160. If you can do that monthly, it makes a big difference over at ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Seculo, as some of these hostages who have been released are now, you know, getting out of the hospital and able to start the process of telling their stories or their experience.
They're horrific.
One is really disturbing, and that's because it involves the UN Relief and Works Agency, which is specifically for the Palestinian territories, and receives just from the United States. I just want to explain to you how much of our taxpayer dollars are going to this agency to fund Palestinians. Well, in 2021, it was $338 million. In 2022, it was $344 million. In 2023, this year, to date, so this isn't the full year yet, it's received $269 million, including $73 million just less than, 2 weeks before those horrible attacks on October 7th, where they received an additional $73 million. Under the Biden administration, $951 million has already gone to this UN agency. The Trump administration caught all of the funding, cut every bit of funding on August 31st of 2018 when they came into office. And then Hostage has now recently told the news that they spent nearly 50 days in an attic by a teacher from UNRWA.
This is unreal.
And that this person, the hostage said the teacher held them captive, was a father of 10 children, was barely provided food or medical attention, locked away by the teacher. Cites that another hostage said that they were held hostage by a Gazan doctor while he was treating children as patients.
This is, by the way, this is the tip of the iceberg. Now, we're going to take some action on this as well at the because our ECLJ is an accredited agency with the United Nations, an NGO, non-governmental recognized organization. But this CC is really outrageous. It gets worse than this, by the way.
It is ridiculous. And UNRWA is known to be sympathetic to Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. And it is ridiculous that UNRWA gets to be related and be a UN entity when they have direct ties proven over and over again to Hamas. So we are sending a letter to the commission, UN Commission of Inquiry, and as well as the Secretary General, demanding an investigation into these allegations. And there are countries like Germany that were the largest donor to UNRWA that have absolutely done their own investigation, and they have stopped the funding because of the anti-Semitic and absolutely horrific actions of UNRWA.
So the Trump administration stopped it. I remember when we did that. The Germans have stopped it. The United States is still currently supporting them. Let me tell you something else about the UN, and this is a bit graphic, and if you got children listening, I'd turn your knob down. The reports of rape that have taken place as these hostages are now coming forward, and we have the video evidence of it, is outrageous. It violates international law, of course. It violates the law of armed conflict. It violates every convention of normalcy that we have. But you know what it took? 8 weeks for the UN Committee on Women to even address this, Cece.
Yeah. Again, it shows the bias of the UN. Even a UN Committee on Women takes 8 weeks to condemn Hamas's raping of innocent Israeli women as part of their attack on Israel.
You know, but when you look at a lot of their work, they don't condemn any part of what's going on in the Muslim world when it comes to women.
No.
Who don't have many rights at all. No, they ignore that exists in the world, even though those countries are some of the wealthiest in the world and they're all members of the UN and could be condemned. They ignore that too.
They do. I think the outrage factor here, and I think it reaches a whole new, I think we've reached a whole new point on this, to be honest. And that is the idea that right now it's okay to not condemn their actions or take 8 weeks to condemn it shows you where these agencies are. And if we're expecting any kind of result out of these agencies, we got to be there to fight back, and we are. But folks, we got to hold them accountable. And part of that holding them accountable is no money.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's an absolute no-brainer that the United States should not be funding UNRWA, which literally has ties to Hamas, which the United States recognizes is a terrorist organization. That is an easy thing to do. Stop this flow of money that is going into UNRWA.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is this, though. The politicized nature, whether it's the U.S., the U.N., but the U.S. specifically, I mean, it's how much evidence do we need that the money isn't working? It has solved no problems.
Makes it worse.
It has not made life better for Palestinians. It has not made life better for Israelis. It has not made life better for Egyptians. Money that is mostly siphoned off by bureaucrats, autocrats, and in this case, terrorist organizations.
Yeah, and then you look at the situation. So you have an UNRWA teacher, an employee of the UN, or a funded person by the UN, who is holding hostages. I mean, I want you to think about the gravity of this. This is the United Nations representative, the World Relief Organization, and they are holding Jewish hostages. And that comes right from the mouth of who? A hostage who has been released.
Yeah, and children. Children. They're holding children hostage, and they are United Nation workers, and they are getting money from the United States. It is an abomination.
I'll tell you, you know, when you think about the kids thing, I saw this report. I'm watching a lot of the Israeli news at night, so you can kind of get their take on what's happening. And the situation with the kids, you mentioned the kids, and it is really bad. When you've got an 11-month-old who was 9-month-old when they were taken, that may be dead. We don't know. I mean, there were some initial reports that the child and the mother are dead. And the world reaction to this is like, well, I mean, this is what the terrorists do. And I want to see the ICC prosecutor actually do something. There's another thing. Thank the Lord that the United States and Israel are not a member of that court. But because of our designation with the ECLJ, we're allowed to participate in those proceedings at the ICC, and we have. I mean, I've been on the floor of the UN. You know that. I'm the ICC at The Hague. But we're going to work on this today of getting information to this ICC prosecutor and demanding some justice here. But these kids are 11 months old. Compare that hostage to leading out their hostage that they were getting out. They're 30 for one, or whatever the number was, 50 to one. And these are people convicted of attempted murder or stabbings or plots. And the Israeli hostage, it is 11-month-old. You tell me where the justice is in that.
Yeah, who's wrong, who's right?
I mean, let me tell you, Gaza is about to be flattened. And it's horrible, and it's sad, and it's tragic. And I don't know if we're going to see these hostages. I'm going to hope and pray that we see these hostages come out. We got teams on it right now in Europe. We've got teams here in the United States that are working on it right now. CC's going to be working on it this afternoon with members of our staff. But it is horrific. This has to be eliminated. Hamas has to be eliminated. You know, I'm not sure Benjamin Netanyahu's government succeeds past the war. In all probability, not. Yeah. Because this was such a huge intelligence failure. But he could be Winston Churchill here and win World War II. But you got to win this one this time. And then there better be a buffer set up. And this idea of sending this over to the Palestinian Authority to run, you got to be kidding.
No.
They'll be overthrown in 2 hours.
No, it has to be like ISIS, like completely destroyed. You know it will try to come back in other forms. And you've got to then be able to take those other forms it comes back in and just squash them. But, you know, what's dangerous about this talk we've talked about, the rape and... like somehow legitimizing that as part of a struggle or a conflict, it is infecting our own country. And because the head of the Progressive Caucus in the U.S. Congress, Congressman Jayapal, which is on with Dana Bash, you know, it's like they struggle to condemn Hamas, and then they equate the rape and the assault with Israel's legitimate actions to protect itself.
I'm asking you about Hamas. In fact,
I already answered your question, Dana. I said it's horrific, and okay. I think that rape is horrific. Sexual assault is horrific. I think that it happens in war situations. Terrorist organizations like Hamas obviously are using these as tools. Mm-hmm. However, I think we have to be balanced about bringing in the outrages against Palestinians. Yeah. 15,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes, three-quarters of whom are women and children.
And it's horrible, but you don't see Israeli soldiers raping
Well, Dana, I think I don't want this to be the hierarchy of oppression.
Well, you know, that is repulsive. I know you covered it yesterday, but I got to tell you something. This moral equivalency crap that's going on between these members of Congress and also going on at college campuses around the country, who would send their kid to a college these days? Or any of these schools. I mean, there's colleges you would send them to, but not these. This is disgusting. And this moral equivalency is an outrage. So, again, folks, we encourage you. We're working on this on multiple levels, as you can tell, support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, that's right. We are in, again, the most important month of the year for us at the ACLJ is December. And we have our Faith and Freedom Challenge right now. You know the kind of work that we're doing at the ACLJ. You know we're doing it internationally, all over the world. We've got work going on both here in the United States, making sure you're able to vote for the candidate of your choice. And I mean, the 14th Amendment issue, the FBI, the targeting of Christians, that weaponization report. We know we're going to get an additional 1,200 pages. That's because the ACLJ has continued to fight the FBI in federal court. We don't just talk about those issues for the day they come out in the news. We continue the fight there. Our European team is in meetings right now. To start the defense of Israel, as you're starting to see through the news, how that's going to be important. Donate today, ACL. All right, welcome back to Secul. We are joined again by Jeff Balaban, who directs the ACLJ Jerusalem office. He is actually in Tel Aviv right now. And Jeff, just a reporting, because we're getting live reporting right now, three people have been injured as there has been rocket barrages fired by Hamas into Tel Aviv in just the last hour. So just to underscore, these rocket attacks by Hamas have gone deeper and further into Israel and in this war than ever before.
Yeah, Israel's under attack. A lot of it obviously has been the south, but plenty of it is coming up here to what they call the center of Israel, Tel Aviv and its surroundings. I am actually right now in a suburb slightly north of Tel Aviv, but in the greater Tel Aviv area, there have been sirens throughout the day. Rockets have landed, even though obviously, thank God for Iron Dome, which takes many of them out in the air, but some have landed and Israelis were wounded. Nobody was killed, thank God.
You know, Jeff, one of the things that we were talking about is that in the United Nations Relief Organization, UNRWA, and the nonsense there, I want to put up a picture on the screen for our folks to see. This is an UNRWA supply center, which is supposed to have supplies and items for aid. But you know what else they have in there? Rockets. That's in the UNRWA supply center, Jeff. This is what we're dealing with.
How much more do we need, Jay? I mean, the fact that first of all, the fact that you and Jordan and the ACLJ and the whole team are at the UN could not be more important. It's as though, well, I'm not going to say as though, UNRWA seems to be an arm of these terrorists. It seems to provide for them, and it's hard to argue that they're doing it because they're afraid. Because let's face it, other organs of the UN and the UNRWA itself, and that's why President Trump took away funding from UNRWA, and unfortunately President Biden restored it, they for decades have been feeding this entire genocidal culture which dominates Gaza, which dominates the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, and they teach them this idea that one day they're going to wipe out the people of Israel. And UNRWA is doing it. And now you see they're actively involved. We had reports of UNRWA personnel keeping hostages, UNRWA personnel. Now we see, Jay, you just showed it, storing weapons for the terrorists.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Jeff, that our European Center for Law and Justice is an accredited NGO with the UN, and this goes to, and we're doing a series of activities there right now that CC is coordinating with our team, and this is just another one. We had the teacher that was taking kids hostage, a UN UNRWA teacher, taking kids hostage. I mean, think about this for a moment, folks, with your taxpayer dollars, by the way. And now we have this situation with the armaments.
Absolutely.
And by the way, at the same time, the UN is telling the world that Israel has to stop and Israel's the problem.
Right.
They're literally helping the terrorists. Right. Why are we listening to them? Why are we funding them?
You absolutely have a UN agency that has a mandate to function neutrally, and they are absolutely aligned step by step, lockstep, with Hamas, a terrorist organization. It's an abomination, and truthfully, their status needs to be pulled.
You know, the Trump administration, we pulled the whole thing. They didn't get a dollar. After, I think Trump was in office 6 months. Yeah. Pulled it. That was it. Germany has pulled it, Jeff. They've stopped it. They did their own independent investigation and said, this is ridiculous. You're funding the terrorists. And everybody knows that money that goes to UNRWA goes to the terrorists. And we're giving them, over 3 years, $1 billion.
Jay, it's blood money. It's American tax dollars being used to murder innocent Israelis. That's what's happening right now. This war has been perpetrated and started that horrible October 7th. What appears to be absolute UNRWA compliance, complicit. It's unbelievable that our tax dollars are going to fund this. It's outrageous. And again, that they become a source. Today, I saw reports that some UN officer was claiming that humanitarian aid was being withheld. And the Israelis who are responsible for lining it up showed pictures saying, we have entire convoys. The UN is getting in the way for some reason. Why are you blaming us? They're just, it's blood libel after blood libel. And around the world, not just in Israel, Jews are suffering for it.
Jeff, the other aspect of this, of course, is the conflict now has taken on a different dimension. While we're desperately working to get the hostages relieved, and as you know, our ECLJ team is in Brussels right now. They had a series of meetings today, and there have been some about 100 hostages released. Now there's more reports of hostages that were being held that are dead. Not shocked, and I think that number probably goes up. I've been saying that for a long time. Now it's starting to get public. You've been in Israel for a couple of weeks now before you come back for the holidays. What's kind of the tenor of things right now? I'm speaking to Israeli members of the community and of course lawyers, but what's kind of the thoughts on the street right now and the leadership you're dealing with?
Well, from the leadership to the street, there is confusion about why America seems to be insisting on getting in the way of them prosecuting this righteous war.
Yeah.
And at the same time, what's so odd, and I hear this from members of Knesset, again, to cab drivers, people I speak to, because it's always interesting to get the street's point of view. I want to know what they're thinking. And what they're thinking is that this new war is changing everything, that Israel is revitalizing itself, being more Jewish than ever. And what I'm hearing is concern for Jews around the world. They don't understand not how they feel safe. They're fighting a war, but they're fighting a war. They're concerned that the Jews around the world are being attacked and they aren't being protected by their governments. And sometimes the governments are joining in. And what's shocking is this place is in a trauma. It's in a state of war. Every family is combatants in their immediate family. And yet they're concerned more about the safety of America's Jews and Europe's Jews. Shocking.
Yeah, well, they see the same news we see and what's going on in these college campuses. It's unbelievable. I watch this stuff every day. It's unreal. And these presidents of these universities have no backbones, including the Jewish ones. It's unbelievable. I mean, so I will say there's been a handful that have spoken out and said this is outrageous. Some of the law school deans have been pretty vocal about this. But the reality is, I mean, it's a horrific state of affairs right now. I want to go ahead and take Annabelle calling from California. Annabelle, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Champion, ACLJ champion reporting for duty. And I say it that way because without you guys, I could not bear the news that I'm hearing. You're not only fighting for Israel, you're fighting for decency worldwide. And we all need to take advantage of the resource and the power and gravitas that you guys offer. I just wanted to say that out loud. Please, everybody listening, please be part of the problem, of the solution. You can be part of the team, and it's the only thing that gets me through the day, and God bless all of you.
Well, Annabelle, I really appreciate you saying that. Go ahead, Jordan.
People always ask, too, you know, on these big issues, what can they do? And what you have to do is you have to unite together, you know, and so what you do is by putting together teams, and that's what we do at the ACLJ, but we only can put together those teams if we've got you out there putting together your finances together. You know, whether it's Annabelle's finances, as she's asking for others to donate, and you put it all together, and you're not just one person anymore. And then those really big issues become something you can take on because you've pulled together, and you've pulled together from different parts of the country and the world, and maybe different backgrounds and different resource levels. But when you pull it all together, we then have the resources to take on issues that, if you're just watching the news, can feel like, oh, I can't do anything about this. Yeah, you can. You can do something about it when you support groups like the ACLJ.
And Jeff, thank you for your report. Thanks for your work over there. And we'll be hearing from you soon. Have a safe trip back. Folks, we got a minute left in this broadcast. Let me ask you to do something. I want you to become an ACLJ supporter. And we're in our Faith and Freedom Drive, and it's December. I mean, we are less than four weeks from the end of the year. And your support means a lot. This is our most important month of the year. And you heard from Annabelle, and she's right. So if you can support the work of the ACLJ, at aclj.org/faithandfreedom. It makes a huge difference. And then if you can become an ACLJ champion, even more so at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And a champion is someone who stands with us each and every month. So we encourage you to do that at aclj.org. and become a champion, standing with us as we fight for freedom. We've got teams deployed right now in Europe. Pray for them as they are dealing with European leaders. Pray for our team, for Jeff and our team working in Israel. Also for our lawyers here domestically. A lot going on, a lot of moving parts, folks. ACLJ.org, Faith and Freedom Drive, it's a year-end drive. Your donation will be doubled.